do have a Bible, go ahead, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Don't open up your phone. So really quick, while you are going, you're getting a Bible, you're turning around. I'm going to tell you a story real quick. There's about one time I was working at a summer camp, and I was working something called the Alpine Tower. If you don't know what that is, it's kind of like a rock climbing wall, but it's like a big, like, tree-looking thing. And part of it, what it was, is so people would just, I would tie a rope to myself and then this really big, heavy log on the ground next to me. And then I'd take the rope and I'd, like, throw it way up above the tower, about 50 feet in the air, and it would go catch on a log and come right back down. And at the other end of the rope, I'd tie it to somebody else, and they would go ahead and they'd climb the tower. And as they got higher and higher, I would take away a little more of the slack until they got to the top. And then when they got to the top, they would go over and they would, we called it sliding down, because like sliding down and then like you slide down 50 feet, that sounds pretty good. But like, really you were jumping off like this 50-foot tower, and we'd just kind of catch you with the rope. Totally safe, totally fine. Nobody ever got hurt doing this. It was great. So there's one time I'm working this, and this like massive dude comes up. I'm like a freshman in high school. I weigh like maybe 150 pounds, maybe. And this dude is like a 6'8", like former pro wrestler. Like 6'8", 380 pounds, just lean, massive dude. And he just walks up to me and goes, "I want to climb." And terrifying, absolutely terrifying dude. And I'm like, "Listen, man, like, when you come down here, I'm like, the only thing between you and God is me holding a rope, and I'm not gonna hold that." And he's like, "I want to climb now." And I'm like, "Okay, you get climb. You get to do that." So I hook them all up. I go through my whole safety talk. I explain how everything's going to work. And he said, "No, you no talk. Me climb." And I'm like, "Okay, Igor, whatever your name is, it's fine. Just calm down. Just whatever. Go climb. Get hurt. I'm already filing the incident report." So he goes. He climbs up, like, super, super quickly, like, surprisingly quick. Because it's something you want to be, like, you want to be lean and muscular. He was just a fire truck, like, going up, like, 80 miles an hour up this tower. Super, it was just crazy what he was able to do. So when he gets up to the top, I'm like, "All right, dude, so when I'm going to count to three, and on three, you're just going to kind of push yourself, scoot off the tower, and the rope's going to, like, kind of catch you, and I'll slowly give you more and more slack until you end up on the ground standing, and you're perfectly fine. And then I'll untie you and all that stuff." So he's like, okay. And I said, "All right, one." And when I said one, he wasn't even sitting down. He just jumped off the tower. Like, not like you're supposed to come over and like be sitting down and just like slide off. He doesn't do that. He takes like a running start and just jumps off. Horrifying. So there's like this 380-pound dude, because I'm not holding the rope correctly yet, and he falls like 10 feet before like I'm able to actually hold on to the rope. And by that time, like, I have a really bad rope burn, and he like, and like, yeah. And because of how I was tied up to everything, like, I'm like 10 feet in the air now because of how much he weighs. And this log is supposed to be screwed into the ground like 15 feet. So that way it takes like 3,000 pounds of pressure to pull it up. Nobody screwed it in. So it's like, so I'm like dangling in the middle in the air, and he's dangling, and then because of elasticity, I think that's how you say it. When he gets to the bottom of his 10-foot drop, he bounces up, and I like bounce up too, and I fall down, and like we're both hurting so bad. And then eventually, like, I'm in midair, and I get him down safely, and he's okay. Point of that story is, it took a lot of faith and trust in me for him to climb that. And maybe it wasn't faith and trust. Maybe it was just stupidity on his part. But for me, I was trusting that this log is going to, like, stay in the ground. I was trusting this rope isn't going to snap. I was trusting he's not going to jump off the tower. He's just going to slide off. It'll be okay. But there was so much, like, faith and trust. And thankfully, like, nothing went too wrong. Everything was okay. Everyone was safe in the end. And like, I think most of us here kind of have something like that. I think we're being fair. Like, you've done a group project before where it's like, you have that kid in your group. Like, you know, the teacher is like, your group of like four friends, your teacher's like pair into groups of five, and you're like, okay. And like, you kind of like subconsciously do his part of the project for him because you know he's not going to do any of it. And like, it's like, man, like if this kid doesn't come through, like I'm in big, big trouble. Or maybe it's been something where it's like you're relying on like a sibling to come to follow through for you. If your siblings are anything like mine, like maybe you can't really trust them. But nine times, but like we've been in situations before where it's like, listen, I need to trust you. I need to trust that that when I fall down or I start leaning back, you're going to catch me and that this is going to be okay. So that's going to bring us over to Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, since he will either hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. So really quick, in this first little part, verses 19 through 24, Jesus is saying, don't store up for yourself treasures in heaven, treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven. So Jesus starts off here giving us a command. He's commanding us, go forth. Don't be so focused on all these things on earth. Don't be so focused on getting the newest car, getting the newest phone, getting a PS5. Don't be so focused on earthly treasures. When you think about things like your money and your time and your resources and your ability, your talents, don't think so much about, okay, here's what I can get on earth. Here's how I can be famous. Here's how I can go viral on TikTok. Here's what I can do for me. Jesus is saying, think eternally. Think, okay, I have this talent. How can I go? How can I further the kingdom of God with what God has given me? Whether it be money, whether that be time, whether that be talents, no matter what it is. One way I kind of think about it, like forever ago, like when the pandemic first started, I was like on TikTok all the time, like too much. It was a little bit unhealthy. And there was this one video I saw, like I saw a million of them. It was just popping up everywhere, where it was like someone would run up in a Best Buy and be like, hey dude, you have 5 minutes, grab whatever you want in this Best Buy, put it in this cart, and I'll buy it for you. So like, one way to think about this is that like, say someone like comes up and does that to you. Nobody's done that to me, which is why I'm convinced all those videos are fake. But like, say someone comes up and does that for you and you're like, oh sweet, I'm gonna get this. But first I'm gonna stop by the phones. I'm gonna look at some phones first. So you go and you like have a bunch of different iPhones there. You're not looking at Androids because come on, we know. We all know which one's better. So you're looking at all these iPhones and You grab this first one, you grab like the new one, you're like, okay, cool. Well, I mean, maybe I should check to make sure this will actually work. Like, are the settings how I want? Like, is this the right color? Do I want the black or do I want like white? Like, and you spend the whole 5 minutes just looking at this, deciding, do I really want this or not? And you end up wasting your whole time and you end up not only missing out on all this other stuff, you miss out on all these things that you could have gotten that would have been awesome, but you don't even get the phone because you never brought it back to the cart. And that's what Jesus is saying. These earthly treasures, at the end of the day, are meaningless. At the end of the day, it doesn't get you anywhere. What Jesus is saying is think ahead. Think just a little bit ahead. Just think a little bit past right now. And Jesus said, I know it's weird. I know it's difficult. But think about what really matters. Think about heavenly treasures. And then Jesus goes on to say, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? So admittedly, like when I was like preparing all this tonight, I was reading this passage and I was like, what? Jesus is going through it, and he's an analogy here, and which makes sense in their first century context. But for us here, 2,000 years later, it sounds just a little bit funky. So I went through and I looked at this and I talked to some people, and what Jesus is kind of talking about here is that when you have this view of your resources, your ability, when you have a view of money or your time in such a way where it's just like, it's all me-centered, it's all focused on me, then you miss out completely. When you think about your time as like, okay, how can I serve God? How can I serve maybe in like VBS or as a high schooler? How can I serve some of these middle schoolers? Or hey, on Sunday morning, how can I serve? And like, maybe I can greet, maybe I can just make somebody coffee. Or maybe I can help some people park. Or even like at school where it's like, hey, how can I serve some of the other students in my class? How can I serve the other people in my class? How can I serve my teacher? Or even like, hey, I have some money. Like I just got some Christmas money. I got my second $20 of the year. I only get 40 a year. And do you see that as like, man, okay, part of this, I'm because God's given this to me, I'm giving back to God. Do we see these things? Jesus is saying, when you see your time, your money, your talents, your abilities as something that has been given to you by God, and because God has given you so much, you want to give a portion of that back. Jesus is saying, when you see your abilities in this way, then everything lights up. You're able to see clearly. You're able to do the work of God. You're able to fulfill what God has for you. But when you're so focused on self and what you can get out of it and what you can do for yourself, I mean, you already missed it. I mean, you just missed it. It doesn't work. And finally, going to this last little bit, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Since either he'll hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So right here in this passage, this is what Jesus is getting at. Everything Jesus has said so far is getting to this point. You see, like, I know when I was younger, I was thinking, like, why does God worry so much about money? Like, God is me not giving money to the church, or like, is me not serving, is like God, is his whole plan gonna be put to a standstill because I don't do this? No, not at all. But right here, Jesus is saying, his point is that we give our money, we give our time, we give of ourselves because it's so easy for money to become an idol. It's so easy for our time to become an idol. It's so easy for the things that we've been given to become idols. So let's just think about that with just money real quick. So like, say you wanna get something to eat. It's gonna cost money. And say you kinda wanna be smart about it, and like you're like, well, I don't need to go out to eat, I don't need to go to the grocery store, I don't need to go to Sonic or anything. I can just go hunt and I can get something there. Well, it's okay, now you gotta go and you have to pay for the weapon, you gotta pay for ammo, you gotta pay for transportation, you gotta pay for the hunting license. You have stuff to pay for. Okay, say you wanna like not walk wherever you're going, you want to drive there or someone to drive you. Well, there's a car, there's gas, there's insurance, there's monthly payments, there's down payments, there's taxes. There's so many things involved with that. And then say you want to not eat at the restaurant, but you want to eat at home. Well, now you have to, like, all these things that you have to pay. You have to pay for your rent. You have to pay your bills. There's so many things that everything costs money. Everything costs something. Say you want to just eat with friends. Well, now, I mean, you gotta pay for a phone. You gotta be able to contact them. You gotta be able to see them. It's so easy for money to be an idol because, listen, in our life, everything is gonna cost something. It costs time. It costs money. It costs talent. It costs your emotional stamina. Everything costs. lost something. So it's so easy to say, God, listen, I want to follow Jesus. I want to do what Jesus says. I want to be a good Christian. But man, like, I got bills to pay. Like, I just got a car, which is awesome, but I got to pay insurance and gas. Or it's like, man, I would love to go and like serve at VBS, but that's part of my summer. Like, my friends are all going to go hang out. We're going to go to the beach. We're going to go out. We're going to do something. But if I go to VBS, I'm going to miss out on that. I'm going to miss out on these relationships. What Jesus is saying is that Jesus is concerned with your heart. Jesus wants your heart, first and foremost. There's not room for anything else and Jesus in your heart. Jesus is saying, I am either fully your Lord, you either fully worship me, I am your God, and there's nothing else there. Some of the spiritual disciplines we talked about the past few weeks, we've talked about giving of your time. We've talked about giving of money. And we talked about giving money. Last week, we talked about devotionals. We talked about worship. We talked about prayer. Each of these things are spiritual disciplines. And this had me thinking about this passage in James where James said, if you've been here on Sunday mornings, we just finished up a series in James, where James writes, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. See, these spiritual disciplines are those works. These spiritual disciplines are the evidence of that faith. So, like some of you tonight, you're like, well, I mean, I go to church. I go on Sunday night. I go Sunday morning. Like, my parents are Christians. Like, we're kind of like doing the whole thing. I go to Christian school. I do all the right things. I go to all the right places. I'm good, right? But James right here is saying, listen, like, yes, your faith saves you. Your faith in Jesus, that is 1,000%. That's what saves you. Works do not save you. But these spiritual disciplines are part of those works. James is saying, listen, you can talk your game. You can talk about how much you believe in God. Put your money where your mouth is. Show me. Do these spiritual disciplines. Do devotionals. Go share the gospel. Go give of your time, your money, your resources, your ability. Pray. Worship. What James is saying here is that, again, it's not the works that save you. It is completely your faith. But if you look in your life and you're like, man, like I know the answers. I know who Jesus is, but I mean, do I actually do anything with it? Do I actually follow Jesus, or do I just kind of go through the motions because this is just kind of my thing? Do I actually go through and share the gospel with those around me? Do I actually care about deepening my faith and reading through scripture? Do I actually care about giving? Or am I just here because I'm here? So tonight, really quick, I just want to give you all an opportunity. If you're sitting here and you're like, man, like, I don't know. Like, I know that I've always been here and I've done the church thing, but like, I don't see any evidence for that. I want to challenge you. Let's settle this tonight. Just a moment. I'm going to go ahead and pray and we'll be done. You're going to go to your community groups. But settle that tonight. Figure that out tonight. Figure out, where do you stand with God tonight? Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till later. Right now. Now is when you figure this out. So I'm going to pray with that. Pray for you guys. Let's go off to community groups. Dear God, I thank you for these students. I thank you for who they are. I thank you for who you are, Lord. Thank you for coming and dying for my sins. I thank you for coming loving me when I did not deserve it in any way whatsoever. God, you are good, and I'm not. God, I pray for these students as they're going off their community groups and they're going off to school. Lord, I pray that they leave here changed. I pray that your spirit makes a work in them that is just so unexplainable. The only thing that could be said is, well, that was God. Lord, I pray that you get the glory, you get the honor, you get the praise. It's through your son, Jesus, I can pray right now.